Welcome to Studio 86. In-depth discussions with RIT newsmakers. Come on inside.
Studio 86, special edition.
On the road!
Hi, Mike Saffron of University News, along with Will Dubey, also of University News. And once again, we are on the road in the Formula Shop. We're here with Lawrence Litchfield, the project manager of RIT's Formula Team. And it's been a series of special podcasts this year following the Formula Team from the start of the year. We'll go right through to competition in May. Welcome once again, Lawrence.
Thank you, Mike.
We are, last time we talked to you, things were still pretty much in the early stages. And today we're looking at the frame, still kind of, I guess you might say, early stages, but why don't you give us an update on where you are?
Well, as you can see, the frame has been finished welding, it's been painted, and it's also been prepped for wiring and assembly. So pretty much at this point, we're ready to start bolting stuff to the core of the car, and we should have a race car in about 3 weeks.
For our podcast listeners who can't see what we're looking at, I'll paint a picture what we're looking at. The frame is covered in tape of some
tape,
kind?
Yes. That's just green painter's tape right there. We do that so that after the 8 or 10 weeks of testing, which we do, it doesn't look too bad.
Okay. You've got a couple of your team members as well here
yes.
in the shop.
We've got Bart Lettenberger here, the brake group and I guess you could say outboard suspension designer, as well as Charles Thomas, who is responsible for designing all of the chassis and inboard suspension componentry on this year's car, F16.
What can you guys tell us about the work you're doing on the car?
Well, from a braking standpoint, it's an exciting time of year. It's time we get back all of our outsourced parts. We're getting back brake calipers and pistons from PMD, which should be very exciting when we get those in. And we're also getting back some of our outboard suspension components like uprights and hubs from Lisk. So we're beginning our assembly stage it, and from there, it's all downhill.
The Lisk and PMD are those two companies you guys work with to produce some of the parts that you guys use?
Yeah, we work very close with those two companies. They provide us a great deal of sponsorship. Basically, I design, or our groups design, what we need for the car, and then we ship them prints and they deliver.
One of the big things, too, is that they deliver what they say they will on time. It's incredibly important that they deliver on time because it's always down to the wire in terms of time.
You know, a tour group was just going by, and they were looking in here at us while we're talking to you. And, you know, they might be wondering as well, obviously there's other work going on. The engine is probably pretty far along at this point.
Oh, yeah. The engine actually just came last week. The engine came off the dynamometer where we test it and tune it and get it ready. That was a new spare race motor, which the team purchased this year and then rebuilt and modified a bit. In conjunction with that, there's the Senior Zion project with innovative driver aids, which is currently being incorporated into the powertrain at this point. We actually had to purchase some new parts last week, which are arriving this week. So probably by the middle to end of this week, we'll be installing the engine in the car with the new components required for that innovative driver aids project, which is very exciting in itself.
So it's really kind of misleading is the kind of the point I was getting at for people who might just be going by at random. And, of course, they see other cars in here as well. But if they're looking at this frame, could be a little misleading on just how far along. You're much further along than might be indicated by the frame.
Oh, definitely. Stuff, it's kind of like everything comes together at the last minute. So before it comes together, it looks like nothing's in order and total disaster. As you know. A chassis covered in green tape isn't exactly spectacular, but in 3 weeks, that picture changes drastically.
How about Charles? Should we get him in here and talk to you, Charles, about what you're doing?
Yeah. Hey, Mike. So I spent the past summer and fall designing the chassis, so I'm pretty excited to see it come off the welding table. A lot of work's gone in over the past 2.5 months, I'd say. They've been manufacturing this. It takes a lot of labor from a lot of people to put things together and get things accurate. So it's pretty exciting to see it come out of paint and start getting wired. And then, like Lauren said, over the next 3 weeks, it's really amazing how things will just all sort of small parts that we've been making for the past pretty much 2 months will come together and suddenly be a very, very complicated car.
Charles, with the what we're looking at here is the frame and the wires are starting to be put on and things like that. What kind of testing do you guys do as far as the design and sort of getting it all set up? So when you put everything together, you know it's all going to fit right and everything. What kind of work do you guys do ahead of time to sort of visualize all that?
We model the whole car in Pro Engineer. So that actually is one of the bigger learning curves that we have to overcome every year. So the whole car, before we even start making it, we actually have a full Pro-E model. Everything from outboard suspension, inboard suspension, the engine's modeled. We even have a driver in the model, just make sure the driver fits. And then back in, I guess, late September, early October, after we had sort of roughed out the frame, we actually built a mock-up out of just like conduit, just to see if our drivers were comfortable with it, see how they felt so that we could really fit the driver right around the... or the car right around the driver. If you look, the car is pretty small. And I built the car so that I would be able to fit in it. And I'm 6'4", so there's not much room in there. So we're working, really the biggest variable ends up being the driver. And then we work very hard to make sure we model every possible thing as accurately as possible. Because it's always the one thing that you forget to model that'll come back to bite you.
And you had mentioned before we started recording, when we first got here, the frame is actually weighs less than previous years. I know that's important for aerodynamics and ultimately speed when you guys get going.
Yeah, we were able to cut 8 pounds out of the chassis this year. It was 74 last year. This year it's 66. For the past 2 years, really, we've been cutting weight every year. Last year we cut 25 pounds. The year before that we cut 25 pounds. And this year we're going to cut another 25 pounds. So we're hoping to be around 425, which I'd say there's 3 or 4 pounds variable in that. But last year we were 453.
Yeah, low 450.
Low 450. So that's pretty exciting. Composites are helping a lot with that. There's a lot less body work this year. Engine group's helping with that. Chassis is going to be helping with that. So really, an outboard suspension, which Bart worked on, that's helping a lot with that. And we're also getting new shocks. Those are significantly smaller than in previous years.
And cheaper, which is a win all around. It's very rare that you'll find a part that's better in all those ways. To talk about composites a little bit, part of the things that allowed us to reduce a lot of the weight this year was our usage of composites. Very innovative, at least for the series we're in at the moment. You see a lot of cars which are either totally composite or all steel frame. You see very few hybrids. We went with the hybrid because it's easier to manufacture for the steel stuff. You don't need all the complicated tooling, but we still incorporated composite structures where we felt that steel had a ways to go in terms of rigidity and overall performance. So actually the skins you see on the car right now, these have been painted. They're a different color than the rest of the chassis. These are what you'll see on the finished car. That's actually the bodywork you're looking at. So that's all been bonded to the car. This is a structural component of the chassis. And then it has some cord structures on the floor here. And then also the impact attenuator backing plate right here, which is a safety part. So it's nice to have that. Very cool.
Okay, do you want to maybe take a walk, see what else is going on in the shop?
You bet. It's great that there's the new facility next to us, the Brinkman Labs, which are a result of RIT's partnership with Akuma. We've just started sort of utilizing some of the technology they have, and it's really powerful stuff, which we're certainly happy to have at our disposal.
And what specifically do you like this type of machine for people who aren't necessarily as understanding about machine tools and things like that? What actually do you manufacture on this, and how is it going to sort of go into the components of the car ultimately?
Well, the stuff the little guys you see here, these are stub shafts which connect the engine to the wheels and the drivetrain. As you can see, it's a very complex part. You've got these cuts along the axes. Also, the profile of these inner features has to be very accurate. And those are turned, so you've got multi-dimensional things, complex surfaces, which are usually very hard to machine and hard to keep accurate.
The machine is computerized, so it models it all for you and sets it all up. So right.
Exactly. And it's cool because the newer interfaces make it much easier to model. It's one of those things where the time to make the part isn't as important as the time to make the program to make the part.
Another advantage of having a CNC machine like this at Axis is that these stub shafts happen to be made of a very very exotic material, Aramet 100, which tends to be very difficult to machine. And by making use of a CNC, we can actually machine these parts with great accuracy instead of having to maybe make a compromise in material and either make the part bigger or have to, you know, make compromises in other areas. So it's really a critical design feature even to have access to this machine.
So it also helps you reduce weight, increase aerodynamics, make the car run better.
Definitely. It's definitely a very performance and value-added facility that we have here.
Yeah, the material we actually make these out of, AirMet 100, like Bart was saying, that it's donated to us by Carpenter. They actually make helicopter shafts out of this to connect the engine to the blades. So it's a very serious material. It's about 6 times stronger, about approximately, than the steel we make the chassis out of, which is itself about 5 times stronger than just a low-grade steel. So it's some pretty serious stuff.
It's fabulous you guys could be able to get to work on this as undergraduates. Sort of, what are some of the stuff you've been able to sort of transfer this to? I know some of the members of the Formula team have worked on some great co-ops at different companies and things like that. Some of the stuff you've been able to do to transfer the skills that you've learned here, ultimately for jobs that you're going to get after graduation, but certainly for co-ops and things you've done as well.
It's great you asked that. For our senior design preliminary design review, we had a bunch of alumni come. One of those was Eric Weber, who graduated before my time. It would have been 7 or 8 years ago now. And after he graduated from RIT, he went to go work in kart racing for Michael Andretti. We have a cool picture of him sitting with his laptop behind Mike. He was an engine guy. So he was working with that team through Honda. And then from there, he went to Rally Art Motorsports, which is actually in England, and they do WRC racing, so the rally stuff you might see.
The car rally.
Exactly. Right. Yeah. So he was working with the Mitsubishi team, which competes against the Subaru and Ford teams, which is that's really exciting. That's kind of the dream of everyone on the team.
Right.
And then for current team members, we have Bart here, who is very possibly going to be working for
Pratt Miller.
Yeah. So that's a really great one. Bart's trying to get a full-time job there. And then we've got another team member, our fastest driver, Ryan Baldy, who's also our engine group leader, who's probably going to get a co-op there. So that's really, really cool. We have both current and previous representation in the motorsports industry, which is awesome. Mm-hmm. And then also, the team is sponsored by Toyota, largely because we send so many of our graduates on to be value-adding employees there, mm-hmm. and they recognize that. So,
well, the Toyota Production Systems Lab is located here at RIT, too, as part of the Industrial Engineering Program, so we've had a long partnership with them.
Definitely.
And, in addition to motorsports, I know me, Bart, and Lawrence have actually co-opted aerospace companies in the past year. Lawrence was out in Seattle at Boeing. Bart was in Buffalo at Moog, and I was at Parker Hannifin right outside of Rochester. So the experience that we get on the team, even though it's in motorsports, it really does apply to a lot of different fields.
Just the level of real-world experience, some of the things you guys have been talking about doing, creating engines, doing the modeling and stuff, it must be incredibly experienced for when you get into a job, you can just start right away and have a level of experience that other people your guys' age and coming right out of college wouldn't be able to have.
Exactly. Definitely.
Well, guys, we're just about out of time, but it's been great to see a few things we had not previously seen in our other podcasts.
Yeah, thanks for coming down, Mike. Yeah, this is always a pleasure.
Just to wrap it up, though, so about 3 weeks from now, from when we're recording with you, you're going to have a car. You're working on it now, but it's going to look more like a car.
Yes, by the 1st of March, we'll have a driving car outside. And yeah, it'll just be about 8 or 10 weeks of testing from that point until we go to competition.
And again, your competition is in Detroit. What's the date of that again?
It comes right smack dab in the middle of week 10 before exams.
You'll be back for commencement though and also maybe we should add as well that you'll have the finished car at this year's Imagine Festival.
Yes, that's right. We'll be one of the feature events at Imagine RIT. Really exciting for us, since we like to think of ourselves as a champion of innovation here at the Institute and one of the signature programs that it has to offer. So we're probably going to do the unveiling of this year's car around 11 or 12 outside, right in front of the Student Alumni Union in the circle there, which will hopefully be reverberating off all the large brick structures we have here on campus.
The Imagine Festival is May 3rd, which is a Saturday, and there'll be a bunch of events going on as part of the Innovation and Creativity Festival happening at RIT.
Yes, lots to see. That's really exciting.
Yes, all right. Well, we'll be not only looking for you, but as you said, it'll be reverberating off the bricks. We'll be listening for you as well. Well, Lawrence, thanks. Bart and Charles, thanks as well.
Thank you. Thank you, Mike.
Tune in next time for another in-depth discussion from Studio 86. Studio 86 is recorded live in Building 86 on the RIT campus and is produced by RIT University News Services.